surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
What's happening in hour number three of our radio program? That's right, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Knicks trying to stave off elimination against the Heat. Early stages, first quarter. Knicks are up by 2, 14-12, with 6:30 remaining. Brunson off to a hot start once again. He does have 9 points. So we'll see if the Heat can go out there, win this game. And if they do, the series is over and they're off to the conference finals. And if they don't, then we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen on Monday night in Game 7 back at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. You do have a Game 7 coming up on Sunday to determine who's going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals between the Sixers and the Celtics. Last night in the NBA, Philadelphia had a golden opportunity at home, taking a 3-2 series lead in Boston, going back to Philly for Game 6. They were flat right out of the gate. Then in the third quarter, they started to show up. And in the fourth quarter, not even the entirety of the fourth quarter, because the game was back and forth. And once Philly got the lead, you're like, okay, you think that they're going to win the game. But in the final 6 minutes or so, the league's MVP and Joel Embiid just didn't touch the basketball. He had 2 shots down the stretch, none in the final 3:55. And from 6:13 to 22.1 seconds left in the game, the Sixers didn't register a field goal. So it's not just Embiid. Embiid's got to touch the ball. And if you wanted the ball, go demand for it. You're the damn MVP. But the rest of the team just did not show up. Like, Tobias Harris was abysmal after playing a really good game in game number 5, didn't show up in game 6. And now the Sixers go back to Boston, where Boston hasn't really shown up in this series either. And you kind of saw that last night, where Jason Tatum was as bad could be in the first 3 quarters. And then in the fourth, he outscored the Sixers, where he had 16 points and the Sixers just had 13. And really, Hickey, last night's performance by James Harden kind of encapsulates what the Celtics have been, where they don't wake up until the last second when their back is up against the wall. Like, this series should not be 3-3 right now. I thought Boston sleptwalk through game 4 and then didn't show up to the fourth, and they got it to overtime and they just ran out of gas. In game 5, it's inexcusable to me how flat they were after sleepwalking through the first 3 quarters of game 4 to not show up at home in game 5. But with how abysmal Tatum was through the first 3 quarters, in a bizarre way, with the way that the Celtics have been playing, it kind of makes sense that he finally did show up in the fourth, because that's what this team does, is they never have that killer instinct and they never make you feel good until the end of the series, where you kind of wipe some sweat off your head and go, whew, they found a way to survive again. Because that's what this team has now been doing, where they've gone far a lot of times as of late, haven't won a championship, got to the finals last year, but they always play with fire. And last year, they didn't get burnt until the last round. And this year, so far, they have not been burned. And we'll see if that changes coming up on Sunday when they do play this game 7.
And that's part of the reason why I don't feel very confident in them in game 7 at home, just because, again, they do just have these performances where you're scratching your head. The sum of the talent does not, or the whole, what should be, sometimes is marginalized, and they play down than compared to the talent on the roster they have. Like, they have a very deep team. They have probably the deepest team either in the NBA or definitely in the Eastern Conference. And it's like they just don't play up to that level at a consistent point, whether it's even in-game or game-to-game. It's very frustrating. I think you are going to get, kind of burned, kind of always doing this high-wire act and needing an unreal performance in the last 6 minutes from Jason Tatum, or needing your defense to be on point to limit the Sixers to 1 point in the final 6 minutes of a game at home. Like, it worked in this game, yes, but is that sustainable for two games in a row for a full series? No.
And they shortened the bench last night to go get that win. They only had two guys come off the bench last night in White and then also Brogdon. Those are the only two players that came off the bench last night for the Boston Celtics. But I could just as equally argue that I don't have any confidence that the Sixers are going to show up. Like, you look at the Sixers, and Embiid will go get you 20-something points on any given night. Can he take over the game in the final few minutes? That's been a question that's been there for years. It's just been covered up because Ben Simmons used to be on the Sixers and be so incompetent in those big moments. And as great as James Harden has been in this series, they are not even still playing if it wasn't for James Harden. Let me make that clear. Game one and game four, he won them those games. But last night, James Harden couldn't even hit a three-point shot. He went 0-6 from three. So it's like, I hear what you're saying about Boston. I'm not saying you're wrong in terms of I don't know what to expect out of Boston, but I don't know what to expect out of Philadelphia. So far this series, it's been so unpredictable, and there's been kind of expect the unexpected in this series. The one thing where if I had to make a pick right now where I would lean Boston over Philadelphia. And it's not a great reason, but the reason just is they lost game one. Then they lost game five. They only won one home game so far in this series. That was game two. It's like, is Boston really only going to win one home game in this series when a lot of people perceive them to be the better team? That's why I don't feel great about it. I do feel like this is 50-50 because I can't trust either of these teams. But right now, from a percentage standpoint, I would lean like 51-49% that the Celtics end up winning game seven. Where's your number, by the way?
I will say Sixers 60%.
Oh, wow. Very confident.
I mean, 60-40. It's not great, but
for a road team in a game seven that for the last few years has squandered every opportunity, 60%. If you would have told Sixers fans before the start of this series that they had a 60% chance to go win, they would take it.
I 100% agree with that. But it's just like you look at the Celtics, they just, to me, inspire zero confidence at home just for how bad they've been there this postseason, how bad they've been there last postseason, and their struggles to truly put teams away the last 2 years. Some of it's on coaching. And, you know, there was a coaching change, but a lot of it just feels like the core of the players, like, they don't step on the throats when you need to. To their credit, they bounce back when their backs are against the wall.
Until they need to, yeah.
Last year, Heat at home, chance to close out the series, lose. Bucks at home, chance to close out the series, lose. This year, had a chance to take control of the Sixers series, lose. Hawks in the first round, close them out, lose. Like, you talk about closeout opportunities at home, they are not good. They are not good the last 2 years.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Warriors-Lakers also will come your way last night, but we're still kind of fuming off the incompetence of the Phoenix Suns last night. As last year, it was embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing, how they did not show up in that closeout game against the Dallas Mavericks. And this year, even though Denver's the better team, to show no heart, no life, and just get steamrolled like that, it's a disgrace. And you look at the Phoenix Suns, they went all in. They went out there. They got Durant. They shortened their roster in order to do that. I know you had CP3 out with the groin injury. He wasn't playing well anyway before he got hurt in the playoffs. DeAndre Ayton can't give it a go last night. He's on his way out of town. I could guarantee you that. You got to expect that he's going to get traded this offseason. But what I witnessed last night, I've never seen anything like that, where you go from it being a one-point game with a little over 3 minutes left in the first quarter in your building. And by the time, I'm not saying like halftime, like we've seen teams get blown out in the first half in an elimination game. But in the first quarter, in 3 minutes, for that game to flip from being a game that you're down by one to then you allow a 17-0 run, I've never, that I could recall, seen anything like that. And then by the time that happened, you knew with what happened last year, even though KD wasn't there, that game was over. When that game just concluded the first quarter, if you were being honest with yourself at 44-26, you knew it was over. And then by halftime, it's 81-51. From a historical standpoint, that 81 points are the most in the first half by a road team in playoff history for the first half. Like, that's crazy if you think about it. That's an all-time no-show performance by the Phoenix Suns. And Hickey, the thing that I still can't wrap my head around and my brain around is the fact that with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, it was like a one-point game. And then, boom, 17-0 to close out that first quarter, a run by the Denver Nuggets. I've never seen a team like that on the road in that limited amount of time end someone's season like the way that I saw it from Denver last night.
If you want to use a dam analogy, the Suns were supposed to be the dam, and let's say the Nuggets are the water. And the dam is being held up by two pieces of wood in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And guess what? That wood is rotting. That wood was starting to give. And when it gave, boy, did the dam break. No one else there to help. The levees were all open. And there was just the entire town flooded. And that's exactly what, like, when you have Booker missing shots and Durant missing shots, no one's there to bail you out. No one is there to actually lend a hand and knock down shots to kind of save the tide away from coming.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Sure.
And I say this in a positive way. And I was not laughing, poking fun. I just thought your analogy was funny. How the heck did you come up with that one? Where'd you pull that one from?
I honestly don't know. Just came to when you were talking about, you know, the onslaught and the 17-0 run. Just kind of felt like a tidal wave. And it's okay. Let's roll with that.
Because if I'm being honest with you, on Fridays, I feel as if this is like your pre-stand-up comedy show. Like you're in the back of the green room and you go, I'm going to try all my material from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern with Zach. If Zach laughs at it, okay, then you'll use it on your show coming up later tonight from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern. If he doesn't laugh at it, then you'll probably just call me a moron and you'll still go ahead and use that material. That was really in the moment. That just came out of nowhere because I felt like you were sitting on that one when you said it for a while and you were just waiting to test it out on me.
I like the fact that you think I'm like all
having these, like, on a wheel right now.
Extravagant plans and oh, I'm going to write all this material. I'm going to use, you know,
well, you prepare a lot
test
for
it out
show.
Here. But that just, because I was not going to talk about the Suns Nuggets game from yesterday. So I was not really planning on using a lot of, you know, I guess references from that game specifically. So that just, I promise, it just came to me. It's not something I was sitting on since like Thursday or since last night. And
you sure?
Let me just drop it in here, see how the reaction goes, and maybe I'll save it for like 2:20 a.m. Eastern tonight. But no, that came right off the cuff.
I'm going to roll over in the middle of the night at 3:37 a.m. Eastern coming up on Saturday morning. All right, well, here's the analogy that I'm going to use, folks. And I'm going to talk about, what was the analogy again?
You don't even remember it? Are you kidding me? It was that good and you hate it. It was the Suns were the dam, the Nuggets were the water. Yes. And that dam gave, and boy, did it break.
The
Beavers are flooded. Sorry.
It's impossible. Now, anytime I watch Kevin Durant go down in a playoff series, I always think he should still be on the Golden State Warriors. And I wonder internally, he'll never admit this, because he can't take that blow to his ego. But I wonder internally if even he knows down deep, man, I should have just embraced the villain role. I shouldn't have been so sensitive what people were saying about me. And I should have just stayed in the Bay Area. Because I know a lot of people, and I didn't really give a rat's ass about the Durant decision to go to Golden State. You know, that was his right. But I do feel like a lot of people, and I know a lot of people where I write about it. And when he won championships, he would sit there and I think he would lose his mind over irrelevant people on Twitter saying, oh, go win a real ring. Like, things like that. And I think that got to him, and that's why he wanted to go win a ring on his quote-unquote own, and or leading the way, let's just say. And he went to Brooklyn. He trusted Kyrie Irving. Disaster. James Harden even realized when he got there, oh, man, yeah, I wanted to come here, but Kyrie's crazy, so I need to go leave. And now it's like you're in Phoenix where CP3 may or may not be back on that roster next year, but who knows if he'll ever be healthy in a big spot. DeAndre Ayton's going to be on his way out, and it's just him and Devin Booker, sure, a great dynamic duo, but now you're getting older, and you see like LeBron, he's getting older, and they're asking him to do less now until they have to. It's almost like you just wonder with Durant, if he could just go back and do it all over again, what he should have done is just embrace being the villain and win so many titles and keep on winning finals MVPs in Golden State. And they did have to retool to go get other titles. And now part of that was Durant leaving, but Klay went through a bunch of injuries as well. And the way that you saw the emergence of Poole for like one postseason run, Wiggins winding up there. So the team would have been different. I get that. But if I was Durant, I must be thinking today, what would happen if I just stayed in Golden State and just embraced that villain move that I made at first and just kept on doing it? Because eventually you win all those titles. You win all those MVPs. Even if you had a problem with how he got there, he still took the most out of that opportunity. And if you go pull off like four championships and four finals MVPs, like who are we going to be to start killing Kevin Durant? And that's always, Hickey, what I think about now when I watch Durant lose in the postseason. And it may be hypocritical because I was probably, you know, begging Durant to leave the Warriors as well in the past. But now looking back at it, I wish he just kind of embraced that villain role.
I have no problem with him leaving. I think he did the right thing, and I don't think he regrets it. Just because you had, like, he was never, you could win. So he left in, what, 2019, so it's been, what, 4 years since? He could have won four more titles in a row. It was never going
to,
like,
that would have been different, though.
I don't think so.
If he gets to a point where you were four or five championships, it's like, what are you going to say?
Well, then he's Scottie Pippen. Do you want to be Scottie Pippen?
Hold on. When Steph was on that team, right? Steph was on that team when he won two championships,
yes,
and hit the shot in LeBron's face and won two finals MVPs. So
he's never getting credit. Doesn't matter how many you win. He was never getting credit. It was Steph's team. He would have been viewed as Scottie Pippen if he was there still.
And if you ask a Heat fan, they still say it's Dwayne Wade's team, but we all know LeBron was the best player on that team. So it could be someone else's team, but you could be the best player on that team. And if you have a trophy case of four NBA championships and four final MVP trophies, if Ryan Hickey says, oh, go win a real ring, like, why do you even care? If Charles Barkley kills you for being a passenger on the bus and not the rider, like, why do you care? Eventually, you shut people up by winning all that much, and he had an opportunity to do it, and now he looks even worse because, yeah, he had that one series against the Bucks where they lost, and he went off, and he had no help because Kyrie was hurt, and James Harden was playing on one leg. But if you don't win another championship, I feel like a lot of us, we're going to say Durant was an all-time great player, but you're going to look back at that career and be like, yeah, he should have won more. And if he would have just stayed in Golden State, I know people are going to then, some will be very petty and go, oh, well, you never won with the team that you built. But who gives a rat's ass? Like, if you were the guy that won four championships, five championships, and won four or five finals MVPs, eventually people just got to shut up and respect it. Mike Missanelli will join us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Got to give credit to the Knicks right out of the gate. They've found a way to win that first quarter 31-24. Second quarter just got underway. It's a 34-27 game. Jalen Brunson, what a performance this has been so far. We talked about his heroics the other night to force a game six where he played 48 minutes and left it all out on the court and was basically playing on one ankle, as you know, and he had 38 points, and that was coming off even in a loss of 32-point performance. Hickey, I was like looking at the over-under for him tonight, and I was just like, at 28, it was 28 and a half, I think it was, for Jalen Brunson. I go, do you just kind of bet the under and think to yourself, okay, with that ankle, just not going to hold up with how many minutes he was going to play? But then something just told me, I can't bet against Jalen Brunson individually right now. Like, I think the Heat are going to win this game. I think they'll come back. They'll still win the game. But Brunson in that first quarter and some change, 18 points, 6 of 8 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3. He just continues with the run that he went on last year with the Mavericks and what he's done in New York here in year number one. He continues to just find ways to get better and better and better and keep on impressing you.
He's done what, you know, you want your star player to do, especially in the playoffs, which is step up when the big moments matter. And he has been tremendous, like I said, in game five with elimination on the line. He's continued that performance so far here in game number six, a really hot start with the Knicks needed. He has been a tremendous leader, and he has been honestly way better than I ever would have anticipated him coming over from Dallas.
And we know his father's part of the organization. His father was Leon Rose's first client. And the families have been so close. So if anyone knew what Jalen Brunson was, not only as a basketball player, but then also as a man, it's Leon Rose. And Leon Rose made sure to go get Jalen Brunson to New York. I'm not telling you they thought that he could be this star, but he has been the shining star of this team this year. And when you look at the Knicks in future years, and this is why I just so disagree with you on saying that this season is a failure, even if they don't win this series, and right now it's 36-30 in a game six, and we'll see if this eventually gets to a game seven or not, is because the Knicks aren't built to do what they're doing right now. And I know you could say expectations change, and they were a fifth seed. The fact that they beat the Cavs was so impressive, and I do think Miami is better, and they're more seasoned, but not to just get like away from this conversation, the Knicks right now, I feel like their ceiling is this round and getting to this round. And for the next 2 years, the roster construction is going to be so big for the Knicks because, like, Julius Randle's a good player, but then come postseason time, he's been more bad than good. And that's probably saying it politely. Like, RJ Barrett is a fine player. I feel like, you know, Knicks fans are critical of him, and I think it's fair. But then, like, some of the praise he was getting in the first series, let's not get carried away and then make ourselves think all of a sudden he's like the second piece on a championship team. Like, Julius Randle, if the Knicks ever get to a championship level, like, if we're being serious here, Julius Randle or RJ Barrett are going to have to be the third best player on this team. And Jalen Brunson's going to have to be the second. And you're going to have to find that first piece moving forward. And it may not be this offseason, but it's going to have to be the offseason after that, because the big part about making the playoffs this year and winning a round, it kind of has James Dolan stand down, where year one they made the playoffs, year two they missed the playoffs, now you make the playoffs. When you're trying to rebuild the Knicks, it's all about surviving initially, and so many people have failed to survive initially, and it's about keeping James Dolan, even though he's, right, he'll always be involved, but let the people he hire actually do the work. And the way you do that is bring satisfactory results. And so far, there's been satisfactory results that 2 out of 3 years of Leon Rose, they made the playoffs and now they won a playoff series. So I say going into this season, make the playoffs this year and then improve the following year. Now they win a playoff series. This does kind of feel like where we were a year ago or in the first year of this, where when they made the playoffs, it was so impressive, and I wasn't shocked that they quickly got disposed of by the Atlanta Hawks. But let's not now moving forward. It's like when you look at the Knicks, okay, they just made the playoffs. They won a series. Let's not then think in this round, oh, they were a lock or they were definitely going to go make the conference finals, because I just don't think that was realistic, thinking that this team is going to beat Miami, who's now in a 10-0 run, and they've just taken a one-point lead up against the Knicks. So really, you have a foundation. Brunson is everything you want in a player, and it's about adding those right pieces around him. And I'm really excited to see what these next two off seasons, this one and next one, have in store for the Knicks, because you're going to have to get rid of either Randle or Barrett, and you're going to have to get another star. And probably, Hickey, I would imagine, you probably do keep Barrett, then you have Brunson, you get rid of Randle, and you can't just toss him away for nothing. And you got to figure out who that next guy is that they're going to get. And in so many other years, we've always kind of laughed and trolled people when they go, oh, this person will be interested in the Knicks. Because, like, outside of Carmelo, it seems like no one was ever really interested in the Knicks. And Amari Stoudemire, too. Now I do think there's going to be some interest in the Knicks, because you have someone who's so friendly with the players and Leon Rose being an agent. You have Jalen Brunson, who so many people love to see what he's doing. Like, the Knicks, for the first time in a while, I'm not saying they're this great destination and they're like the Four Seasons, but they're starting to look like a resort that you would be fine with hanging out at and seeing what it's all about. And that's the big part, whether it's via a trade, which, you know, Donovan Mitchell wanted to get traded to the Knicks. It didn't happen. Or if it's just outright in free agency as well. So that's why I'm excited to see what the Knicks do the next two off seasons.
They have made organic progress, which is good, because for a while it's always been the offseason. Okay, let's clear cap space. Let's hope LeBron comes to the Knicks. Yeah. Let's trade for Giannis. It's all these pipe dreams that never actually come to fruition. KD and Kyrie. Let's get Kawhi Leonard.
Zion in the draft.
Now it's at least there is realistic, tangible progress, which definitely is nice. And for the first time in a very long time, it's actually real, which is good. Like I said, now you just got to keep on capitalizing. You hope you do off of this run, and you hope that it's still a linear growth forward and not like last year where you made the playoffs then you missed the playoffs. No, not up and down. You hope it still continues in an upward trajectory.
And also, it feels like the Knicks could be right in play for Damian Lillard. If he becomes available, I really do think the Knicks and the Heat will be two of those teams that will do everything in their power to try to go get him. And if Damian Lillard winds up in Miami and you have a team of Jimmy Butler, Dame, and I guess Bam would still be there, and I don't know how they would get that deal done. Holy moly, like that would be something with the Miami Heat, as Miami just kind of knew all year, just get healthy, just be in the postseason, and with Jimmy Butler, they'll go to battle and they'll try to take down whoever they can, and they'll feel pretty confident with it. But it really does feel like if Dame is available, like two of those teams that you do circle, Ryan, are Miami and then also the New York Knicks. And for a while, it seems like the Knicks could be a team that would actually be attractive enough where Damian Lillard would want to go there. And you could throw Boston into the mix as well if they want to break up that duo of Tatum and Brown.
Absolutely, which again is progress from, again, for a large
enormous
part of lifetime,
project.
It was hope of, oh, I hope these star players come here, but it was never actually realistic because they had nothing around, nothing to grow with outside of that, you know, star player. Now there's actual legitimate pieces here that should be, you know, you hope part of a championship team sooner rather than later.
So right now that's 37-36 with 7:43 to go in the first half. The Heat have come on back to take that 1-point lead. We'll see if things continue to progress in the Heat's favor. If they do, then there won't be a Game 7. The Heat will be off to the conference finals, and they will await the winner of the Boston Celtics, who are hosting the Sixers in a Game 7 coming your way on Sunday.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I want to get to an NBA point in just a second. Let me just update you on some scores. Panthers and Maple Leafs right now. Florida's up 2-1. They did take a 2-0 lead heading into the second, and Riley did score to cut the deficit to 2-1. If the Maple Leafs lose, their season's over after finally getting out and winning a playoff series for the first time since 2004. If they lose tonight, they would go down in 5 games to the Panthers. The Panthers, if they do win, this story just continues to be a great one, where last year they were the President's Trophy winners. They get embarrassed in the second round, getting swept by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this year they have the fewest points out of any team to make the playoffs this year. You go up against the big bad Boston Bruins, who had the most points and most wins in NHL history. You take them out in 7 after going down 3-1 in the first round, and you find a way to beat them, and then to quickly go up 3-0, and then you drop game 4, and this series at 3-1, you do expect that Florida's going to find a way to win one of these games, as they have just been an absolute unit. And if Florida does find its way to the Eastern Conference Finals, we know that the Carolina Hurricanes are their opponent, as the Hurricanes did dispose of the Devils last night in 5 games. Jesper Foss got the game-winning goal in OT as he got the deflection in front. And it'd be a neat little story, because in football we talk about Travis Kelce going up against his brother Jason Kelce in this past Super Bowl that the Kansas City Chiefs did come back to win. Well, Jordan Staal is the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes, and his brothers, Mark and Eric — Eric played forever in Carolina, used to be their captain — are now with the Florida Panthers. So that would be a little fun Staal party in the conference finals, and we'll see if that does happen. And also, coming up later tonight in hockey, you do have the Oilers and Knights. And this series, I just don't know which Oilers team is going to show up. The first round, the first game felt like the Battle of Alberta, and it was a 6-4, and they lost. And then they win game 2, 5-1, then they lose game 3, 5-1, and then they find a way to just be the much better team in game 4. The results of this team have been very confusing, and these games have not been close outside of game 1, 5-1, 5-1, 4-1. I just got to see what goaltending that you're going to get tonight out of Edmonton. It does feel like this series is going to go 7, but I want to see Edmonton take control of this series for the first time in this series, and they could do that with a win tonight. I do think the Oilers are going to win this series, and I do think they're going to win tonight. And then the Stars and Kraken. I think last night, it's amazing how Seattle and your number 2 is in the second round. I know when the Knights were an expansion team, they got to the Stanley Cup final early on. But for the Kraken just to be in the second round is more than what they could have ever expected. Credit to Dave Hakstol, who was in two playoff performances in Philadelphia and did lose his job. And you look at what he's doing in Seattle, it's a very impressive job. But what Dallas did last night, and they take control of this series 3-2, and they win the game 5-2, it seems like they are the better team. And you would continue for that to be projected moving forward. If this goes 7, that would be wonderful. But I'm not going to put it past Dallas to go into Seattle in a game 6 and find a way to pull out a victory. And also tonight, coming up in the NBA, we're talking Heat and Knicks. That game, the Knicks threw the first punch. The Heat have now countered here in the second. It's 49-48 with about 55 seconds left in this first half. Brunson dominant in the first half with 22 points. Bam Adebayo coming up big. I have his over tonight, Hickey, of I think it was either 17.5 or 18.5. It doesn't really matter because barring an injury, he is going to hit this. They're just the greatest no-show of all time in the second half because Bam Adebayo in the first half is 7-12 for 17 points in this one. And Jimmy Butler hasn't really had to do much yet. He has 9 points, but he's not been great so far in this contest. So if this continues to be close, I'm going to rely on Jimmy Butler to end out this series tonight in 6 games. If not, it will go to a game 7 coming up on Monday night at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. And you do also have Golden State in Los Angeles tonight. It looks like Wiggins is going to give it a go. He's going to have to go through more testing in warmups as now. This game is not that far away. It's going to tip off hopefully in like an hour and 15 minutes. You'll see how long it's going to be past 10 o'clock. But you look at this rib injury that he's dealing with. That's going to impact the game, his effectiveness. And Anthony Davis, he is not even listed with a head injury. And we thought he suffered a concussion the other night. They're now calling it, I think it's a foot injury. I believe what it is. So looks like the concussion we thought Anthony Davis did suffer, he did not suffer it. I do lean Los Angeles tonight in the game. I just think they've been the better team. And we've also have not seen a vintage LeBron James yet. And that's not me saying that he can't show you a vintage LeBron James. Not what they're asking him to do. It would not surprise me tonight with the game, with the series, a chance to really put it away. And you go back to a game 7, you have lost all momentum. And everyone's going to talk about, oh, remember that time LeBron was down 3-1 and the Warriors choked the lead and LeBron had that great run with Kyrie and the Cavs. If this gets to a game 7 and LeBron loses this game tonight, Saturday is a long day for LeBron James. And then Sunday until tip-off will be a long day for LeBron James because everyone is going to talk about how LeBron can't blow this 3-1 lead and LeBron can't lose this series, blah, 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 blah. That's what the conversation will. So I kind of, maybe I shouldn't look at the game this way, but this is just the way that I look at the game. I think LeBron is going to want to avoid that conversation. LeBron's not going to want to deal with that nonsense. And LeBron's going to basically, I think, go and have a great performance tonight and show you a LeBron that the Lakers haven't asked LeBron to be so far in this postseason. And I do believe that the Lakers, they do end this series tonight. I would not mind seeing 7 games of this. I would love to see, actually, a 7th game of it. But I'm going to tell you how I feel about this one, and I do think the Lakers are going to win. Okay, moving to football. Za'Darius Smith, I don't know what the details are of the trade, but it's been reported that Za'Darius Smith has been traded from the Vikings to the Cleveland Browns. This is the least surprising thing that Za'Darius Smith got traded. It kind of felt like he was either going to get traded this offseason or he'd be a cap casualty. Now, the next name to go is going to be Dalvin Cook. And there was a thought maybe Dalvin Cook was going to get moved before the draft. And then when you got to draft week and the fact that he didn't get moved, that it was very telling that that when you look at Dalvin Cook, it was kind of like, okay, just when are they going to cut him? Is this one of those post-June 1 type of casualties? That's something that you're going to have to wait and see. But it does seem one way or another. And at this point, I don't think it's going to be a trade. But it looks like Dalvin Cook may actually just get outright released by the Minnesota Vikings. And then if he becomes available, Dalvin Cook, and you know he's going to look like he's going to look for a big contract. I don't know what he's going to be on the market and what they're going to get him on the market. But the teams that would probably, like Miami, Hickey, was interested in Dalvin Cook. I would think that if Dalvin Cook becomes available and just gets cut, outright release, that it would not surprise me whatsoever if Dalvin Cook winds up with the Miami Dolphins.
That's a good fit because the Dolphins have a lot of scat backy type of running backs where there's not a real threat between the tackles, and Dalvin Cook, I think, absolutely would fill that need. He's from the area. He'd be definitely cheap as well. I think it's a perfect landing spot for him.
And the other teams that I kind of look at, I don't feel like Buffalo will do it because Buffalo, I feel like we're always the team that we link a running back to Buffalo, and then they just don't make the move. And, right, they lose Devin Motor Singletary this offseason. They replace him with Damian Harris. Remember, they just drafted Cook's brother in last year's draft. So I think Buffalo will be a team that a lot of people target and a lot of people suggest, but it won't actually happen. And then when you look around and kind of get the sense of the rest of the league, like with Baltimore? Now, Baltimore, I feel like it started with Odell Beckham in appeasing Lamar. And then it's like, okay, you move on from that. I guess they tried for DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't know if the Cardinals are just, their asking price is just ridiculous and too high in return. So that's something that you wonder. But you kind of look around at a team like the Baltimore Ravens, and you wonder, J.K. Dobbins with the injuries and all that, if maybe they go make a move to go get Dalvin Cook if he's available.
I wonder if Dalvin Cook would want to go there just because there are a lot of running backs in that room. Do you want
to
be a guy that's splitting and getting 10 carries a game? And if you want to get paid, I don't think the Ravens can be that team to pay you.
Well, that's a fair point. I just wonder, does he get paid on this contract? Or is he going to have to go to a team for a one-year deal and then get paid after that? Like, that's a big part of it, too.
I would probably guess the latter. One-year deal, he gets cut. Sign him for 2023 and then reevaluate after this season.
All right, then I'll give you another destination. If that's the case and it's a one-year cheap kind of deal, what about Dallas?
Dallas Cowboys, absolutely.
Tony Pollard, we don't know when he's going to come back. There's been talks that they may bring Ezekiel Elliott back. If you could go pay a little bit more for Dalvin Cook and get Dalvin Cook, I would absolutely take Dalvin Cook over Ezekiel Elliott. It's not even close.
Right, you think the salaries would be somewhere in the near ballpark. Like Dalvin Cook is not getting a big-time, even one-year deal. I'm with you 100%. 100%.
And outside of that, like, there's not many destinations that really jump out to you. Like, Seattle has Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. San Francisco just got Christian McCaffrey. I don't think people are running to go join the Los Angeles Rams anymore. The NFC South, Miles Sanders got the big deal from the Carolina Panthers. The Saints, didn't they get Jamal Williams this offseason? So, the Falcons just drafted Bijan Robinson. It's like, you look, if you want to go to get a little revenge inside the NFC North, the Packers have two running backs. And you look at, like, the Lions, they just drafted a running back in the first round. So, really, the destinations, you got to have demand. I think Dalvin Cook's a player that people would want. But you got to have desire from these destinations. And we just went through a lot of these teams. Like, where's the team that has the need and is also going to bring you in and pay you something serviceable? And really, like, you go through it, Dallas is a team, the Ravens are a team, and then it's probably Miami as well. You know, outside of that, like, I know the Jets have Breece Hall. Do the Jets make a move since they're just loading up on everybody since Rodgers?
Why the hell not, right? Just all-star team.
Yeah. Like, Cleveland's not going to do it. The Bengals, do they maybe swap, get a Mixon off the roster and and getting a cheaper alternative in Dalvin Cook for a year? Because it's not a lock that Mixon is back. It's you know, I really don't know. So I think it's a slim market for Dalvin Cook when he becomes available. But just one more thing. The Browns getting Za'Darius Smith, it just brings back up the conversation. I would love to know what Cleveland's going to be this year. Because Watson has a lot of rust still to knock off. I don't really saw any signs last year that he did. And it's just like, you're in a tough conference. And you're in, arguably, the toughest division in football. And you know the Bengals are the class of that division. I'm just very curious what Cleveland's going to do. And we talk about coaches that are on the hot seat. Like, Stefanski's on the hot seat. Because you know they can't get rid of Watson. You just gave him all that money and traded up all those picks for him. So, with that, I don't know where that relationship is. But at the end of last season, it just didn't look like they were putting the ball in Watson's hands so many times. It was like taking it out of Nick Chubb. It just like didn't make really sense. You just wonder where that relationship's going to be at the end of the year. And it's going to be tied to wins and losses. Because if the Browns don't make the playoffs this year, I can't imagine Stefanski being back in Cleveland after this season. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I believe we'll be joined by Mike Missanelli on the other side. So we'll connect with him, the longtime Philadelphia talk show host. And we'll see if the Philadelphia 76ers are going to find a way to win Game 7, or will Boston do it again where their backs are up against the wall and they just find a way.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.